It's The Bottom Line on News Radio 610 KONA. From the Tri-Cities to Olympia to D.C., we break down the stories of the day and the people making the news. Time to get The Bottom Line on News Radio 610 KONA.
Welcome back, Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. It is another day. It is Friday. There's sun, a little chilly, going to get a little cooler over the next couple of days, so get ready for that. We'll talk a little playoff football in the next hour, but we're going to kick things off with State Senator Matt Behnke from the 8th District joining us on the line. Good afternoon to you, Senator. Thanks for your time.
Yes.
Good afternoon to you guys. Thank you so much for hosting me. Looking forward to this because it's been a heck of a week. The first week of legislative session always is fast and furious, and especially this year with the outgoing governor transitioning to the new incoming governor. So we got lots to chat about.
I'm just going to say, you said the outgoing governor transitioning. My mind went in another direction. However,
do you have a toilet flush sound effect?
Yeah, well, I figured it would.
But I'll just leave that there. Okay. So I've talked to a few of your peers. Talked to some of the other lawmakers in the area because all of us were kind of struck by Governor Ferguson's inauguration speech and some of the things that he was talking about leading up to that speech before he was sworn in certainly were not what we were getting on the campaign trail. So what were your thoughts as you were listening to the governor's decidedly bipartisan tone in his inaugural speech?
Like anything, I think it was an opportunity where any leader will set the tone for the next 4 years. Like, you know, if you're planning for this, this is a great time to, at least in my mind, bring together as a leader, showcase the people of the state of Washington, really what it means, what is set in your platform, those kind of things. It's one thing to have the rhetoric of the campaign and, you know, that cycle. But really, what are those platform items you want to work on, your priorities? Focusing on some of those, I'd say the effort to keep community safety number one, where it's boots on the ground, hearing that was a plus in my mind. So if you're scoring, and literally I was trying to do that as I, you know, am a professor and I, you know, grade my students' term papers, I kind of did the same. I was grading the governor's speech and I kind of given a plus for the community safety. He was going into a lot of across the aisle and bringing together individuals from not only the bills from Representative Connor's Heroes Program bill to, you know, a D and then back and forth. I thought that was a decent technique to try to bring some bipartisan support on it. But what got us was when he got us standing up and actually started applauding to some of the efforts was his area of, hey, I know we're in a cost or a budget crisis. I'm going to look internally to the AG's office first. I'm going to be a part of that solution. Resonated a lot with me that we're going to go ahead and cut a lot from the AG's office. Now, of course, AG Brown has come out and said he disagrees with everything. We're going to do with that in a bit. But saying those things got us to stand up to applaud. And I think it changes the tone in the state and even on the floor where we are hearing that, because for so many years, the D side would just stand up and applaud and say, yeah, more, more. And they were sitting there dumbfounded, kind of going, what can we do about this? Why are the Republicans actually standing up for the first time in a long time to applaud a governor and even a Democrat governor for some of these projects and programs he's listing out? So in that idea, it was kind of refreshing. It was a change of pace. It was enlightening in that aspect. But I really hope and I trust that he sticks to his word. And as you guys know, integrity is a big part of my career as a military officer and will continue. So if his word is his bond and his actions, you know, follow up some of these words, then we're going to, I think, have a great opportunity for bipartisan support in the state.
We're talking with State Senator Matt Behnke from the 8th District here on The Bottom Line. And that was the other thing that kind of started running through my mind as I'm, you know, going over his speech and hearing from Republican lawmakers is The Democrats aren't saying anything. They're really quiet right now. Maybe they don't know maybe they don't know what to make of it, but I think it's fair to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they've already put bills forward that he has said he is not in favor of, like the wealth tax, the unrealized capital gains. At some point, the rubber is going to meet the road, and he is either going to have to veto these bills or sign these bills, and that is where we're going to find out how much of what he said was to get applause and how much of what he said he meant.
That's exactly right. And we're already seeing some of that change in that dynamics of not just blindly following a party to these policies that are really bad, the negative impacts on the taxes, the increase in the numbers and the types of taxes they want to impose. We're seeing in meetings. So, for example, last night when Ways and Means, the House Speaker comes over and asks for a quick meeting with Senator Peterson from the majority leader in the Senate, and they go walking off into a corner office. And so you know something's kind of going on already to kind of stir the pot and kind of get that together of, hey, we got to refocus our plan that I think they had there. And you mentioned this before. When you have a state senator, Noel Frame, who sends out the plan of attack and action to everybody, we already know this was already in action a couple weeks ago. So yeah, I think this has derailed a lot of what they thought of, and they're having to refocus some of their efforts.
So, Senator, let's talk about energy, because we've got a lot of action in that realm right now. We know that Amazon is buying into small modular reactors to power data centers. We know that Eastern Washington, particularly Energy Northwest in your district, is going to be a driver of this, not just in the state of Washington, but potentially nationally as well, being kind of a test ground for all this. What are some of the things that are going to be brought in your committee this year in energy? And what are some of the things that are going to be key focuses to help enable these projects to be able to move forward and us look at this as a real viable energy source?
Well, thanks, Rob. I appreciate that. And, you know, it's been a team effort in the 8th with Barnard kind of leading in the House and getting the opportunity in the Senate now to be ranking member on the Energy and Environment Technology Committee as we transition under this new governor. I think there's great opportunities to continue our focus on advanced modular reactors, the new nuclear that we're seeing, and the hampered of the next generation. We're setting the tone for the next 20 years to be a big player in the Northwest energy sector with the industries coming, Atlas Agro and all those projects you mentioned. Our key will be focusing on the impacts of CETA, CCA, and you've mentioned a lot of the Climate Commitment Act dollars that are going to be focused on the manufacturing, permitting, siting, transmission lines. A lot of that that is maybe not so sexy to the sausage making that we do in the state, but are really important details when it comes to where that funding needs to go, that return on investment, and really the impacts to set us up to connect to BPA, the Bonneville Power Association, as well as the federal government working with Representative Congressman Newhouse on his efforts at the federal side. So a lot of those are going to be hot and heavy this coming year. First phase, we got the update this morning from the State Department of Energy and Ecology about the impacts to some of the Climate Commitment Acts to get down to the GH greenhouse gas emissions that we're supposed to be at to meet our zero by 2050. A lot of people are going to be impacted by that. We have several in the regional area. Hopefully they're listening that we're fighting for them, from the truckers to D-Link. I have a bill to get away from the Clean Energy Act board from California that they can't impose their will into the state of Washington from another state. We have a sovereign right in our state, and I'm constitutionally obligated to fight for the state of Washington, not to align with or cede that to California. And we're going to continue to fight them all along the way.
One of the things I want to ask you, Senator Behnke, especially as we're talking about energy, recently, Governor Ferguson appointed a new head of FSEC, and I know that there are bills in the House and in the Senate that look to rein in some of the governor's authority over FSEC and give some more local input into FSEC. Do you have any impression as to this change at the top of FSEC, if this is a positive in that direction, or is it too early to tell?
I think it's a little bit too early to tell would probably be the best guess, but with the hope and the guidance from the words that our new governor has said, from Governor Ferguson's initial speech, and even some of the changes we have. So we've lost the former chair, Senator Wynn, used to be there in energy and environment. I definitely knew his stance on this, and he was more draconian in his efforts. And so now with the new chair, Shoemake, who I think has taken a more moderate position with IFSEC, wants to work together in a bipartisan effort. I think there's a lot of hope there. With these changes, we have opportunities where we can make the best improvements we can quicker, like now. And she agrees. She's coming from a big district that has Marathon, Chevron Oil, some of those big, heavy polluters up there that she's going to have to work with as well. So I think it's going to force her in a position to be more moderate than you've seen in the past with under Inslee's reign.
We're talking with State Senator Matt Behnke from the 8th District, Kennewick, here on The Bottom Line.
And Senator Behnke, to kind of change gears a little bit, there's one that I saw, a proposed bill that kind of caught my eye. About this has to do with the state schools and the NCAA and the health insurance idea. Ben referred to committee about some opportunities for providing health insurance or I guess sports related insurance for some of the athletes at the state schools, and kind of wanted to ask you about that. That kind of grabbed my eye a little bit.
Yes. I'm helping co-sponsor that effort, and I know what you're thinking of, because I figured you would. When we got this call, I talked to a couple other people, and I heard you might have a couple of questions on it, and you're not alone.
Well,
there
as an ex,
people who are concerned about that.
As an ex-D3 yeah, guy, as a former D3 guy, you know, I kind of like, what's this?
Yeah. So, it's not too complex. Basically, in the past, athletes in the state of Washington were covered under AppleCare. Uh-huh. And as you know, that's been changed over the years. So through the dynamics of what the House has been doing, and mainly because of Cody Care that you guys reported on for years, since Representative Cody was the lead on these, uh-huh. She's kind of, my personal opinion, my words, demolished some of those efforts that actually were pretty decent coverage, mm-hmm. And taken those away and stripped that. So there right now has been a big gap in what some of the athletes, when they come into schools, are covered for these injuries that are in there. Uh-huh. And you know, we have NIL, we have all these things that are getting out to some of those big athletes on the football team, you know, basketball teams and stuff. So I know a lot of that money's coming in and changing that dynamics. But we still have a gap in the coverage for health insurance with some of these athletes that are being covered. So that I signed on. I told him my concerns, like you have. I want to be at the table. I want to make sure we're focusing on keeping those tight concerns and keeping that to where it's only focused for these small, limited, targeted audience mm-hmm. of individuals, and it's lessen the burden. But it actually will provide us a cost savings from the old AppleCare uh-huh. that they were paying into before. We're seeing some upwards of a couple $1 million from each of the institution. They're going to get the fiscal note hopefully next week, and I can have better numbers for you then.
Uh-huh. So, you know, in other words, this is kind of a plan that's going to replace what was already there, because the old one has kind of had the foundation knocked out. Would that be a good assessment?
That's it in a nutshell. You mm-hmm. said it better than I could.
Oh. Well, I'm glad we had the opportunity to let people know about it, because I think when it comes to not just that, but other areas of government, there are things that people might not be aware of. Well, this plan got demolished, and so what we're trying to do is replace it, and then people go, okay, this isn't something quote-unquote new.
Exactly, and I think, well, if anything, since you guys seen me from day one, we got to do a better job in the state of really providing context. Instead of just reading the title of a bill, you got to understand kind of where this comes from. And everybody always asks me, what solution, what is the problem you're going after? What are you trying to solve with this bill? And so I asked the sponsor and those people who are stakeholders, when they come to me, they say, hey, this is our problem. We get into really that identifying clearly, concise, specific questions of what that problem is so we can go after it. And I tell them, even at the seventh grade level, if I can explain it to somebody in those common terms and I can't understand it that accurate, then we're not there. We're missing the boat and we're not ready for prime time. Mm-hmm. So I won't support it. I won't back it or any of that stuff. And so in this one, I told WSU and UW, get back to this, get us those numbers. Because as you know, or you might have heard, we're in a little budget crunch this year. So we're really crunching the numbers and want to make sure we focus on cost savings, where we can provide that return on investment for every dollar we use for the state.
State Senator Matt Behnke from the 8th District in Kennewick. Always appreciate your time, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And look forward to talking to you again over the course of session.
Thank you, sir. You guys look for us weekly so we can do this. Don't forget to reach out. Come up to the state. We have a new building. Want to show you around there. And we're open. It's the people's house. We need the people there. So appreciate you, too. Thanks for all you guys do for us.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick time out. Back with more Bottom Line News Radio 610 K1A in just a few minutes. Again, State Senator Matt Behnke from the 8th joining us. Got a few things to touch on when we come back, including a call to action for everyone who is concerned about the power of FSEC.